This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Good Wednesday evening, everybody, and welcome to Tactics. Thank you so much for being here with us here in the Situation Room, where speech isn't violence, tolerance isn't love, and disagreement isn't hate. We appreciate you being a part of the program as always, and there is quite a bit of breaking news today for those of you that may not have heard yet. I know that this just broke not too long ago, so Trump has been acquitted on both counts of impeachment. Now, this is not a huge surprise to anybody. People pretty much saw this coming, including myself. But nonetheless, we are reporting that it was acquitted, and the Daily Wire has they put together this pretty good parody video that I really like. It was, of course it's edited and it's not the same thing, but I think you'll get a kick out of it. So let's watch.
The respondent, Donald John Trump, President of the United States, is not guilty as charged in the first article of impeachment. Is not guilty as charged in the second article of impeachment.
The guys at the Daily Wire really upping their troll game, but yeah, it's on both counts, abuse of power, obstruction of Congress, the Senate overwhelmingly voted against it. It was mostly along party lines. There was only one exception, and that, again, also not a surprise, is Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney voted in favor of conviction on the first count and voted against conviction on the second count. So obstruction of Congress, which, again, is just a joke. I mean, that's basically a punchline at this point. At least abuse of power, though not a crime named in and of itself. There are things that are abuses of power that actually are a crime, and so that one at least has some legitimacy. Abuse of Congress isn't even a thing. They literally just made crap up to try to convict the president, so that one's just a bad punchline, and I don't think even Mitt Romney, who just absolutely hates the president's guts, I don't think even he could bring himself to vote in favor of that one. But on the abuse of power, you have to remember a couple things. First of all, you need to remember that when it comes to abuse of power, you're not only voting for conviction, you are also voting in favor of this being something that is impeachable. Because you can vote no on a conviction, even if you think that the person actually did it, as long as you don't believe that the charge itself warrants impeachment. That's how this particular process works. It's different in an actual court of law, where if you vote in favor, you're saying they did it. If you're voting no, you said they didn't. Even if you believe that Trump somehow abuses power, and I think you can't even really make that case, but even if you believe that he did, but you believe that abuse of power in and of itself, or at least the specific abuse of power that Trump allegedly engaged in, if you believe that that is not worthy of an impeachment, you would have to still vote no, Mitt Romney, because again, he's somebody that has always had a chip on his shoulder when it came to Donald Trump, even before Trump became a major political player. I mean, the guy just absolutely loathes him. He voted to convict Trump on that one count, and he was the only Republican senator. And he's not the only Republican senator that has beef with the president, but he's the only one that hates him enough to vote for a phony baloney charge that they had no evidence to back up. And that really, again, comes as a surprise to really no one. I mean, that's just kind of who Mitt Romney is. And I don't think that Mitt Romney is some irredeemable, you know, horrible person that should never hold office again or anything like that. I don't think opposing Trump in and of itself is something that automatically means that you must be an anathema and never be even considered for public office. But the fact that Mitt Romney is willing to let his personal feelings get in the way of his judgment like that, I think calls into serious question of even people that don't necessarily think Mitt Romney is a horrible, terrible person, and that anybody that opposes the great, untouchable Trump must be cast out of polite society, because I'm certainly not that person. But I don't think you have to be that person to look at that and go, really, Mitt, really? You let your personal feelings about the man just completely override your good sense and your, you know, normal faculties of judgment? I think that's the way it goes. And the thing is, hyperpartisanship. Every single Democrat, including Alabama's own Senator Doug Jones, voted in favor of conviction on both counts. And by the way, we're going to be talking about Doug Jones tomorrow because he has his explanation. We're going to go over that. But the reason that we're not going to go over that in detail is because I try to do this every Wednesday. We try to do something that is more of a spiritual nature. And another reason that we're not going to spend as much time on the quote unquote, the giant news story of the day, to be honest, it's barely news. I mean, anybody that has been paying even, you know, some attention, you don't even have to be dialed into it or do this for a living like I do. If you've just kind of been casually following the news on impeachment the past couple weeks, you pretty much knew exactly what was going to happen. In fact, I could have predicted exactly this result right down to the vote, and did predict exactly this result right down to the vote a couple of days ago. It's just, you don't have to be a political savant or prognosticator to know that this is the way that this was going to go down. And I think that's part of the reason that the American people got so incredibly bored with it, is because it's like watching a game that you already know the outcome. It's like you recorded the game. And actually, my dad does this, which I think is weird, but I mean, he's a huge sports fan, so this is one of the things he enjoys. He'll record the game, and he'll find out the score, but he'll still go home and actually watch the game, even though he knows what the final result is. And that doesn't ruin it for him. Some sports fans, I know that would ruin it for him, and I happen to be fall in that category, but there are some people that, even though they know the final score, that they're still going to keep up with it, but the vast majority of them, it ruins it for them. And that's really, I think, what happened with impeachment with the American people this week, is that we knew how this was going to play out. We understood ahead of time, before everything was said and done, we knew exactly how this was going to shake out, and because we knew the final score, we knew that they were going to get nowhere close to 67 votes in the Senate to actually remove the president. Republicans, Democrats alike, really just didn't spend a whole lot of time paying attention to it. That's what it all boiled down to. Even the political junkies like me, the fatigue came out really, really quickly when it came to this whole process. And people on both sides were just done with it. And now that it's out of the way, we'll just move on and be outraged at whatever new thing comes our way. That's probably going to be the orders of the day that is coming up around the corner. That's why I want to take especially this opportunity on a day where everybody's going to be talking about impeachment and kind of go in the opposite direction, because there was a video that I discovered that it's a snow globe look at not even just American politics, but American culture today. I mean, if you wanted a microcosm of what is going on in America right this second, it's the snow globe view. Now, what do I mean by snow globe view? When you take a look at New York City, and then you get a snow globe, like a souvenir snow globe of New York City, it doesn't encompass everything in New York City. It's kind of a facsimile, and because of that, certain things aren't exactly 100% to scale. And because of that, some of the buildings, because they couldn't fit them in, are missing, but they're going to have the Empire State Building in there, and they're going to have a few other things in there. And if it's one that's a, you know, it's a really small miniature, then they'll have even the ocean and the Statue of Liberty and all that stuff in there. So you know what you're getting ahead of time. You may even have things moved closer together than they are, but looking at a snow globe, you could get the general idea of what New York City kind of looks like. And if you were to see a snow globe and say, if somebody had no idea what New York City looked like, you could look at a snow globe of New York City, and then you could take that person to New York City, and they could probably figure out they're in the same city, even if the details are off and things don't look exactly to scale. This video is a snow globe of American culture. There's some things that aren't really fleshed out, and there's some things that are a little off, but basically, it's such a perfect little microcosm, a little display of almost everything that's going on in American culture. And I'm shocked at how much content was inadvertently packed into this little video. Now, what this video is, it's at the Iowa caucus, and frankly, it's probably the only positive thing to come out of the Iowa caucus with the disaster that was, you know, trying to come up with the results of it. But this is a Iowa caucus voter that she goes in to place her vote for Pete Buttigieg. And then learns that Pete Buttigieg actually is not who she thought he was, because she had no idea that he was gay and married to a man. And this is that clip.
So are you saying that he has a same-sex partner?
Yes.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, he's married to him, yeah.
Well, then I don't want anybody like that in the White House. So can I have my card back?
I don't know. Find it.
We could go ask. I never knew that.
The whole point of it is, though, if he's a human being, right? Just like you and me, and should it really matter? That's what.
Well, he better read the Bible.
He does, and he says that God doesn't choose a political party. Because
why does it say in the Bible that a man should marry a woman then?
Well, I totally respect your viewpoint on this. I so totally do. But I think that we were not around.
How come this has never been brought out before?
It's common knowledge.
I never heard it.
We can talk to someone if you need to talk to them about this. I don't know the rules on this or not, but I guess what I would like you to just dig deep inside and think, like, should it matter if it's a woman or if it's a man or if they're heterosexual or homosexual, if you believe in what they say? That's my question.
It all just went right down the toilet is where it all just went.
And that's, you have a total right to your opinion, and I am not trying to tell you to think otherwise, but we'll ask what they want us to do. But I just ask you to look inside your heart, because you sound like a Christian woman to me, and I'm a Christian woman, and my God wants me to love everybody. I do, yep.
So you must not believe it then, if you think it's okay for somebody to be married to a same-sex person.
No, I think we're just interpreting it different, and that's okay, because everybody gets to have their own beliefs. But what I teach my son is that love is love, and we're all human beings.
All right, so very telling video, and the reason that I say it's just a tiny little microcosm of everything that's going on in America, whether it's the culture war, the shape and landscape of American politics right now, I want to go ahead and explain to you all the things. I mean, that's everything rolled up into one. First of all, it's a really good snapshot of the civil war that is going on right now within the Democrat Party, because you have the lady there that's trying to get her card back because she just now found out, even though she had thought she was informed, thought she was making an educated decision on Pete Buttigieg, had no idea that something that affects who he is, affects his identity, something that is a major, major factor in his life, she had no idea about it. And so she all of a sudden kind of represents the quote-unquote moderate wing of the Democrat Party, the one that they're not socialists, they don't hate America, they just think that government should be bigger, versus the woke brigade, the intersectionality police, the PC crowd. That's what you just saw, the conflict in this back and forth between these two. Because here's the thing, it would be easy to go through this clip and just shred the poll workers' logic. I mean, we've done it with different people countless times. We've done it with Pete Buttigieg himself, going, oh, well, we're all humans. Yeah, well, you're all humans? All humans is your excuse? Well, you know, there's lots of horrible people that were humans. In fact, all bad people were humans, too. You don't endorse a person's bad behavior because, well, you know, we're all humans. Well, yeah, Stalin was a human. Adolf Hitler was a human. I mean, you just go down the list. We're all humans is not an excuse. Or the love is love thing. Well, if love is love, why isn't pedophilia just love is love? If love is love is going to be your mantra, what's wrong with pedophilia, having multiple wives, multiple husbands, multiple partners, sex outside of marriage, What's wrong with bestiality? Like, why are any of these things bad? Because if love is love, and if you love it, that means it makes it okay. I mean, like, you could go through all of those arguments, but the thing is, we've all been there. We all know those arguments. If you're listening to this program, regardless of what side you're on, you're familiar with these. I've done these 100 times. And so what I want to zero in on is really what's going on and what this puts on display here. And I think first and foremost among them, like I was saying, was the civil war that is going on within the Democrat Party. Just the other day, you had the woke brigade coming after Pete Buttigieg and upset with him that he's not more openly gay. I don't know how you can be more openly gay than A, talking about it on national television and having your spouse talk to campaign events, having him there on the campaign trail with you. Like, it's not a secret. But the woke brigade says that Pete Buttigieg just isn't gay enough. They kind of look at him as an Uncle Tom, but for gay people. That he is technically gay and he likes having sex with men, but the reason that he's not gay enough is because he's not dressed in drag, he's not flamboyant enough, it's not the single issue that he talks about all the time. Elizabeth Warren has talked a lot more about the LGBTQAAIP Silent Five, their whole agenda, way more over the past couple days than Pete Buttigieg has. And so, yes, it's something that he's obviously in favor of, but because he's not flamboyantly gay enough, because he's not going down and talking about how horrible Christians are and how everybody that doesn't like him is a bigot and a racist and all this other stuff, he's just not woke enough for the college town group. He's not woke enough for the new PC police. And because of that, they're going after him. And because of that, they were actually in this article talking about how Joe Biden is more affectionate with and kisses his relatives more than Pete Buttigieg kisses his husband, which is a disgusting thought on a number of levels, but Biden's not a great measuring stick for that because he kisses all kinds of people, including people he's not supposed to be kissing. So I don't know that that was the best example you could have used, but regardless, this is the kind of people that they are. You're seeing this conflict between the Democrats that your father and grandfather knew, whether they were on their side or not, the Democrats that they still love America, they still think it's a great place to live, they don't despise Republicans, and they don't despise Christianity, and they don't despise white people, and they don't go around talking about white privilege, that kind of thing. Just people that were fans of JFK and Lyndon Baines Johnson, those kind of people. They like big government, but they don't want to go down the road of full-blown Venezuelan socialism. You're seeing the pull between that and the new left, as it were. You also see on display the low-information voter. This is a person that felt that they were confident enough in their knowledge of this particular candidate, Pete Buttigieg, that they were willing to cast their vote for that person despite not knowing a lot about the person. Because if this person had been spending any amount of time watching cable news or watching the debates or any of that stuff, they would have learned quickly. Granted, like I said, it's not as on display as the woke brigade would like. But it's no secret that Buttigieg is gay and is partnered up with a gay partner. And you see the shock from both of these women. The poll worker is shocked that this woman's never heard of this before. She said it was common knowledge, and she's not wrong. To anybody that's been paying a modicum of attention, it is common knowledge. But there are people going to caucuses, going to primaries all over the place, and this is not an uncommon thing. This is not an outlier. I would be willing to bet that a large percentage, and when I say large percentage, I'm talking anywhere from a third to a half of the Iowan voters that voted for Buttigieg have no idea that he's gay. The low information voter, that is the norm in this country, not the exception. If you're listening to this program, you're probably in the top 5% of informed voters. And I'm not saying that just to pat you on the back or my audience specifically. I'm saying that because 5% of people spend virtually, or only 5% of people will listen to a talk show or a podcast or something relating to politics to give you a lot of these nuances and give you some background on that. And if you look at cable news's ratings, for example, across the board, they're down. Yes, Fox is still winning, and yes, some networks are doing better than others, but overall, you look at the ratings now compared to a decade ago, the audience is practically non-existent. And the audience for other political media that gives people information about this is down as a whole, too. So that's why you're seeing this kind of thing happen. The information amongst the voting populace in America is just not there. Another thing that it puts on display, the generational gap. Because you saw a much younger woman there that's a member of the left that you're seeing on your cable news channel versus the person over there that's trying to get her card back and didn't know that Buttigieg was gay. Well, you're looking at her, and this is a person that is obviously older, that has more traditional values, and so they didn't grow up in that Democrat Party. I mean, you can tell even by her language. It wasn't just that she said she had a problem with it. I mean, the way that she articulated her point of view is indistinguishable from a Republican of that age and how they would say it. There's really not any nuance. She doesn't try to sugarcoat it or explain her position. She just straight up says, just like a older Republican would, well, the Bible says it. It needs no further explanation. That's what the Bible says. That's exactly how older conservative Christians argue. And so you're seeing on display there that big generational gap. Another thing, liberal privilege, and this brings me back to what I was saying just a second ago. Imagine that had been a Republican. Imagine this were not taking at a polling place. Somehow a conversation ensued between this woman and an older person that was a Donald Trump supporter. Or even if he wasn't a Donald Trump supporter, let's say that it was Mitt Romney or John McCain, something like that. Do you really think that she would have been so kind and understanding and trying to talk the person? No. We all know what would have happened. We all know. The fangs would have come out immediately. What would have happened there is that she would have turned on that person, called them a bigot, a racist, talk about how backwards they were, all this other stuff. But because this person is a Democrat voter, because she's, you know, caucusing with the Democrats in Iowa, that she is a liberal, the velvet glove is put on. Now, she still disagrees with her, still thinks she's wrong, but she does so in a civil way. It's liberal privilege. Because if this had happened to a conservative, if a conservative was saying the exact same thing, and by the way, the way that she said it, how she said it, everything lines up with something that a conservative Christian of her age would have said, and if that had happened, then you would have seen the claws and fangs come out immediately. And so liberal privilege is, because this person knows that it's a liberal, she all of a sudden, she still disagrees, she still tries to change her mind, but she's not going to go after the person or attack him, even saying, look, you seem like a good Christian woman. She tries to appeal to her better angels. You can guarantee that would not have happened if it had been a Republican. And I realize that argument is a low-hanging fruit, but it's the truth. And the empty sentiment there is just another thing, because I love the line where she's like, well, I respect your opinion. And then a little later in the same clip, she goes, look, I'm not telling you that you should think otherwise. I'm not telling you that you should think otherwise. Yes, you are. Don't lie to her. Yes, you are. You're trying to change her mind. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I never have understood on either side of the aisle why there seems to be some virtue in not trying to change somebody's mind, saying, oh, well, I'm not trying to change how you think, and you have a right to believe how you want to believe, and I'm not trying to change that. Don't lie to me. Yes, you are. That's what I find so hilarious about this whole thing, is that there is, it's almost as though they take it as some kind of offensive thing to try to convince you that your idea is incorrect. There's nothing shameful in that. Now, if you're wrong, there's some shame in that, but my point is, if you believe differently than somebody, there's no shame in trying to convince them otherwise. Humans have been doing that since the dawn of time. And there's nothing morally right or wrong about it. It's just, it is what it is. you do this every time that you and your friend have a disagreement when it comes to what restaurant you're going to. You engage in rhetorical discourse to try to change that person's mind, to try to sway them to your way of thinking. And so I just love how she's like, oh, well, I'm not trying to change your opinions. You have the right to believe whatever you want to believe, and I don't want to change you. I'm just asking you to do the exact opposite of what you think. And I think that that is yet another example of what this puts on display. I don't want to change your opinions. I just don't want you to live it. I mean, isn't this the thing that Christians, especially on the conservative side, hear all the time? No, no, you have a right to your opinion. You can believe what you want to believe. I just want you to bake my gay wedding cake or to arrange the flowers for my gay wedding. Or I want you to just be okay with abortion and don't vote in favor of that. Keep your religion out of my uterus. Basically, they want your religion to stop at the doors of your church, and sometimes not even there. Sometimes they will send the thought police in. They did this in Austin, Texas, trying to censor even sermons that are taught in churches because they think that they might be filled with homophobia. And so even then, you don't even necessarily have the freedom to do anything there. But that's, again, just a little microcosm of what's going on in America as a whole. Well, I don't want to change how you think. I just don't want you to live out your religion. Believe whatever you want. Just don't, actually apply it to your life. It's this compartmentalization garbage that they teach you about religion. Well, whatever religion you have is fine as long as you don't actually exercise it or live it. As long as your religion doesn't change your life in any way, then yeah, believe whatever you want. Well, that's not a religion. It's not even close to a religion. That's at best an ideology, which again, even an ideology is completely meaningless unless it actually spurs you on to do something differently than you normally would. And so it's the same kind of postmodernism thought that we're accustomed to. Another thing it puts on display, facts versus feelings. I mean, how many times have we talked about this one on this program? This is a perfect example of the facts versus feelings mindset. Because you've got one woman over here saying, well, you either don't read the Bible or you have read the Bible and don't believe it because the Bible is very clear and emphatic on this, that homosexuality is wrong. And the other one is saying, I'm just asking you to look into your heart. Yeah, let's look at what the Bible says about looking into your heart, because if you've read any part of the Bible, we're talking Old Testament, New Testament, poetry, history, narrative, regardless of what section of the Bible you're reading, there is a common theme that goes throughout really almost any portion of the Bible that you could read, and that is human thinking, human logic, human feelings can lead you astray very quickly. The heart is not something that is to be trusted. Do you know where in the Bible it tells you to look into your heart? It doesn't. Ever. You will never find the verse that says, just follow your heart. It's not in there. I've read it multiple times. You won't find it. It does talk about trusting in God, being faithful, being obedient to Him. It does talk about changing your mind, transforming yourself, overcoming your own nature, and conforming to the image of God, conforming to the image of His Son. Never anywhere does it talk about just follow your own heart. In fact, there's a lot of stories about people that did that and got into serious trouble with God for doing their own thinking, for following their own heart, and just taking wherever their feelings led them. That's a recipe for disaster. And anybody that's well-versed in the scriptures knows that that's horrible advice. You don't follow your heart. But how many times have we heard this on matters when it relates to religion? It's the mantra that they try to appeal to you by saying, no, just follow your heart. Do what you feel is right. Do what feels right to you. No, do what God thinks is right. That's the message of Christianity. That's the message of the Bible. And really, what that all goes back to is it's subjective morality. And you hear this when she goes, no, I think that you're a good Christian person. I think that we're just interpreting it differently. So basically what you're telling her is, I interpret it differently, so I want you to just act on my interpretation, not on your interpretation. My interpretation is right, your interpretation is wrong. Okay, well, how do you know your interpretation is wrong? And furthermore, as Peter says, the Bible is open to no private interpretation, and we all understand that this is just a ruse, this objective morality ruse to try to get you into and lure you into thinking that there is no right or wrong. Oh, well, there's no right or wrong way to interpret the Bible. When the Bible says something is some one way or another way, and it's crystal clear on homosexuality, then you can just arbitrarily decide whenever you want to, I don't like how that one reads, I'm going to just decide that this is what God actually meant, and so this is how I interpret it. And not only is my interpretation equally as valid as yours, actually my interpretation is better than yours, because what I'm saying is you should act on my interpretation, not on your interpretation. So you can interpret it how you want, but when you actually, it comes to making a decision or changing your life or some kind of behavior that you have to ask the Bible how to live, live by my interpretation, not your interpretation. And what that boils down to is God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. Because you'll listen to what that lady said, and props to her for standing her ground on that. It's God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. She said, well, the Bible says X, and her return to that was, Pete Buttigieg needs to read his Bible. And she says, no, he does. And he says, did you notice that this was something that they went back to multiple times in the video? Well, the Bible says X. Yeah, but Pete Buttigieg says, well, Pete Buttigieg isn't God. Pete Buttigieg doesn't just get to arbitrarily decide when scripture applies and when it doesn't. He doesn't get to say, no, that scripture, we're just going to leave that one out. That's not how this works. And so you've got one person on there trying to say, well, the Bible says X, and the Bible is God's word, ergo we ought to go with the Bible. And the other one is saying, no, no, don't listen to the Bible. Listen to what Pete Buttigieg says. See, he reads the Bible. And so this is what Pete says about the Bible. And so that's what we're going on. And again, that's not even isolated to politics. How many people in churches with people that consider themselves good Christians tell you exactly the same thing? Well, see, my preacher says X, my pastor says X, my dad says X, my bishop says X. Don't tell me what they say about it. Tell me what the Bible says. I'm not saying that wisdom from other humans is useless or anything. I mean, I read a lot of Christian authors, and they're helpful. But if they ever say something that is contrary to the scripture, and you have to pick between the two, you go with the scripture, you don't go with the person. There's a lot of things that we can draw from the wisdom of human scholars that have been studying the scripture, but if they're ever saying anything that is not in the scripture, then it's just man's wisdom, and that always, always has to take a back seat to God's wisdom. And what has happened, again, across America is that there are so many Christians that say, well, man's wisdom says this, so I'm going to use that to override what God's word says because I don't like what God's word says about this particular subject. And it's not relegated to homosexuality. There's dozens, virtually every topic that the Bible covers. You could find a human teacher that says the opposite of it and claims to be a Christian and claims to be right with God by doing so. I mean, marriage, divorce, and remarriage alone is a staggering example of that. And that happens in any church, any denomination. You can find a minister, a teacher of some kind that will tell you what you want to hear as opposed to what God's word says. And then ultimately, it's an appeal to get with the time. It's a spirit of the age thing. There was even an appeal in there where she's basically saying, well, that was written in a different time. Oh, see, because it's old, that means it's not true. I'm interested to see when Sir Isaac Newton saying that, you know, discovering the principle of gravity and his laws of motions, those are going to be outdated at some point. That, they're old enough now that they don't apply anymore. That's not how this works. Just because something was written a long time ago does not mean it is not correct. In fact, if that is true, the entire study of history is wrong, because that's what history is. It's studying things that are old. Studying things that happened a long time ago. And so if that's the case, then we can no longer depend on anything. Again, it all goes back to postmodernist thought. But even with all of this, even with all of these lessons that I think have apt application, it was kind of a redundant statement, but that have a very direct application to our lives and can help us really understand, like I said, this is just a great little snow globe look at America as a whole right now. Even with all that, I think that we could focus on all those things and still miss the larger point. And the larger point is, these two women both think that they are Christians. They both think that God is on their side. They both think that they're in the right and that they are doing God's will by trying to convince the other one that they are right. And I'm sitting there thinking, do you think God cares more about the fact that Pete Buttigieg is gay or the fact that literally more than 50 million of his children have been murdered in the womb by this party? Think about that. Because I in no way am implying that God just doesn't care or that God is unconcerned with homosexuality because abortion is a thing. But I'm sitting there thinking, you've got these two women that are claiming to be Christians and yet are both coming out to caucus for the Democrat Party. Have they not been paying attention for the past 50 years? And it's not just relegated to abortion only. You look at things like the economy, where the Democrat policy is basically, some people have too much stuff, so I'm going to take that stuff. I mean, that's about as anti-biblical as it gets. You could look at things when it comes to the border. I mean, you could go on and on with different passages that have real-world application in today's politics. And I'm not going to be one of those people, and I don't intend to be, that every single policy issue is addressed in the Bible, because it's not. There are certain things that the Bible doesn't address at all, and there's not a biblical way and a non-biblical way to look at those issues. But there are some, and the Democrat Party seems to always be on the other side of that. And I'm sitting there thinking, these two women are both arguing that God is on their side, when what's really happening is they're both on the same side and don't realize it. They're both in the warm embrace of evil. That they're there arguing about whether or not they ought to vote for somebody despite the fact that they're gay, and whether or not homosexuality is okay with God or not, when you've got 2,500 children a day dying because of policies that the Democrat Party put out there. Now, the fact that Pete Buttigieg is gay concerns me both for him personally and his soul, and also for the larger group of people that are just okay with that. But what bothers me way more than that is the fact that he is for abortion on demand, and has said this multiple times. There should be no restrictions on abortion, nothing that limits it, not even in the third trimester, which puts him in the extreme minority even amongst pro-choicers. Only 13% of Americans have the same stance as Pete Buttigieg when it comes to that. This is a guy that says no restrictions, partial birth, abortion, whatever. Let's just murder him whenever we can. And tries to make a biblical argument that abortion is a good thing. Which is like trying to argue back in the Old Testament that worshiping Moloch and sacrificing your children to him, that's what God would want you to do. I mean, it's absolutely obscene. And they're arguing about whether or not he's having sex with a guy. That's what their big concern is. Again, not saying it's insignificant, but big picture, please. Can we consider that for a moment? This is what we're running up against. I genuinely think that God is far more concerned about these things. Not saying he's unconcerned about homosexuality, but it amazes me, and it's a frightening warning to all humanity, be cautious that you don't lose your perspective. Because doing so, like these two women did, and you know, props to the woman for sticking her grounds and standing on principle, but that's straining at an ad and swallowing a camel in a monumental way. When you're like, oh, he's for abortion on demand? Yeah, that's no problem. Wait a second, he's gay? Gonna have to reconsider my vote there. You see how far out of, way out of balance those priorities are. And if you want to talk about a snow globe view of what America is like today, that may be the biggest one of all. That we are constantly worried about hot-button issues, and we are missing much larger, much more important spiritual truths. And unfortunately, I'm terrified that that's where much of America and many of those that consider themselves Christians are today. You want a crash course in what postmodernism is doing it to America? That's it right there. Two women that are convinced that God is on their side, and because of that, they're trying to persuade the other one on this little spiritual issue. And again, I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm just saying, in comparison to 50 million children being murdered, it's insignificant by comparison. And that they're willing to swallow and grab onto with both hands and ignore the rest. We're in a bad way, America, if that's where we are right now, and we have to be vigilant to make sure that we never become those people. Stay the course, friends.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt, only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.